Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys this morning?
We're good. We're actually here. We're not on the road anywhere.
That's nice.
It is nice.
Home is a good thing.
Hey, you're on the road.
Huh? I'm on the road. I'm in Philadelphia.
What's in Philadelphia?
My daughter.
Oh.
Actually, so, yeah.
So you're not there for a show or anything like that? This is a family get-together? Are you there for the holidays?
No, just family, just a between birthday visit between the two of us, and you know there are concerts here, so you know we will be going to hear some music. Imagine that.
All right, where do we start this morning? Let's start with the Who is going to go to the Vegas.
Yeah, the Who is going to. Well, this is a rumor. The Who has not confirmed this yet, but the hot rumor out of Vegas is that as Elton John winds down his run at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace next May, after 13 years, The Who is going to take his place there. This is all, you know, insiders talking now. Again, no confirmation from The Who, but they say it's likely a Who show will be up by July and that the band will play, I think they're saying 30 to 50 dates a year in Vegas. And, you know, doing it that way rather than going on tour. Although Elton also goes on tour.
Oh, he does?
We'll see if that... Oh, yeah, Elton still plays some tour dates.
Everybody always talks about how brutal it is to tour, and I'm sure it gets more difficult as you get older. Why wouldn't you want to just do Vegas, where you can just stay home and go downstairs, play the show, go back up to your suite at the end of the evening?
And then you're only there for a prescribed amount of time at a time, and then you go back to wherever home is, and then come back and do it again whenever. So we'll see. I mean, that would make a lot of sense. You know, the insiders out there in Vegas are saying, you know, after Elton, they wanted somebody of equal, you know, equal weight to take his place.
And because. Because Irving Azoff can smell a nickel in the corner of a room 16 miles away, the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett are talking about teaming up, in 2018 for a stadium tour?
For next year, a handful of concerts, probably a stadium tour. And this comes from Irving Azoff himself. You know, Irving, of course, manages the Eagles and has been involved in Jimmy Buffett's career over the years. And he said in an interview earlier this week with a trade magazine, that they were looking at, quote, a handful of concerts that would be, you know, co-headline date Eagles and Jimmy Buffett sometime in 08. Joe Walsh, meanwhile, said in an interview in Las Vegas that the Eagles are looking at doing something like 50 shows, between 40 and 50 shows in 2018. So the Buffett thing would be part of it, you know, would be among those shows.
Do they share any, I don't know, background players?
Oh, yeah.
Producers,
background
so forth.
Players, no, not musicians, but you know they share background. You know, both were part of that same Southern California scene, and Jimmy Buffett was the one who inducted the Eagles into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
And wasn't Jimmy Buffett a Monster Tone too, an honorary Monster Tone at one time?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
he was. He's on the Greeks Don't Want No Freaks, you know, on the Long Run album, and yeah, so you know, that would make a lot of sense.
So you say a handful with them and 50 shows for the Eagles next year, even though Don Henley announced about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, that's about it for us after Glenn Frey died.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, they reserve the right to change their mind.
Not knee-jerk reaction.
These rock stars.
Yeah. Well, I'll give them credit. They're still out on the road.
Are they going to tour with Glenn's son in that seat?
It would be Deacon Frey and Vince Gill. That's the Eagles now.
Okay.
Is those two guys. And I saw them in October, and they were magnificent. I mean, it was the perfect way to fill that void.
All right. Speaking of changing out members, Stone Temple Pilots have a new pilot?
Have a new singer. Yeah. Tuesday night, they revealed that it is Jeff Gutt, who actually hails from the Detroit area. He was a finalist on the X Factor USA a few years back, and he's actually he's actually been working with Stone Temple Pilots since September of 2016.
How did they go about winnowing out who they were going to get? I mean, did they have tryouts?
Well, they had these 15,000 submissions to their online appeal, and of that, they auditioned 30 people. And apparently the story with Jeff Good is he was brought in on the last day of auditions. He did not submit himself. He was recommended.
Oh. You know what that sounds like?
A couple of sources.
It sounds like they went through all the auditions and said, oh, man.
Guess we got to go find somebody.
What have we got here?
It's possible. I don't know if they'll ever reveal who the other 30 were, but I wouldn't be surprised if among those 30 were maybe a half dozen names we know.
Okay.
Who were in other bands and things like that. But Jeff, I've actually been covering Jeff for quite a number of years out of the Detroit local scene. And he's a good choice in terms of, is this a guy who can deliver Interstate Love Song and all those other Stone Temple Pilots songs? Absolutely. Now, new material, we'll have to see. They have a single out now called Meadow that sounds pretty good. Sounds like Stone Temple Pilots. I talked with Jeff on Wednesday, and he said they finished an album, and that's going to be out in the spring, and they're going to be touring extensively in 2018. So, you know, Stone Temple Pilots will ride again. Now, if you're Jeff Good, it's kind of like going into the Spinal Tap drummer chair in that band. Only real life, which, you know, but he has a real reverence for Scott Weiland and a real respect for that music. So, like I said, I think if all the world decides it wants to do is hear Stone Temple Pilots play those old hits again, he'll do a really good job at delivering them.
So when you go out looking for somebody, you have to find somebody who can get those songs out, right? I mean, kind of like when Journey replaced Steve Perry, right?
Right.
They had to find somebody who could hit those notes, but, you know, do you want to be exactly like you were before?
Well, you know, the audience wants you to. Certainly, I think that was the lesson with Journey and Arnell Pineda. I think that's the lesson with Styx and Gowan. So, you know, the audience wants you to be at least pretty darn close, if not exact.
Well, even artists as they age don't sound like they did, you know, when they had their hit. I imagine Elton John isn't, you know, quite hitting the notes, you know, when the dogs of society howl, you know.
Yeah, no, you lower the keys and things like that. But, I think it's a good choice for him. And we'll see. I'm real interested to see what kind of new music they come up with.
So Neil Young's going to take all the question out of, well, what are you going to put online, Neil? Because the answer
is it's going to be everything.
I'm just going to put everything online.
That's what he announced this week. December 1, he has a new album coming out as well. And then he announced that he's going to open an archive, you know, an online archive where you'll be able to stream anything. He says it's going to be free at first. That leads me to believe there will be a period of time that it'll be free.
If you're
digging it, there will be, you know, a monthly subscription service. And to make that subscription price worthwhile, that's when he'll start loading in the rarities and the unreleased material and the concert recordings and all the stuff we really want from his archive. But that's December 1, so that's going to be a big day for Neil Young fans.
Walter Becker's widow released a statement this week.
Yeah, then that was, you know, a lengthy statement, very, very nice and very personal. And, you know, it's the first time we have heard that his cause of death was apparently a very aggressive form of esophageal cancer that she said he was diagnosed with, and it just, like, blazed through his body. So it sounds like the diagnosis was, you know, sometime in the spring, maybe. And then he passed away in September. So it's a very nice note, very heartfelt, thanking everybody for, you know, for their support and condolences and wishes. So, you know, it's kind of what you'd expect.
And Brian May, he's in an Instagram dust-up with a photographer?
Yeah, this was a photographer. This is a funny deal. So apparently, you know, he posts a lot of stuff. He's very active on Instagram. And he posted a photo of himself in concert that was actually copyrighted to a photographer named Barbara Kremer. So Brian May called it out on Instagram, you know, rather than, you know, or I'm sorry, she, the photographer, complained to Instagram, Instagram not disabled Brian May's account temporarily till Brian May sorted everything out. But then he goes and he takes off on her on Instagram. I mean, he says, you know, he accuses her of exploiting his image, making money off of him, threatening, saying that he feels pretty violated, and saying that if she's ever at one of the Queen's concerts in the future, he'd be tempted to have her thrown out. Really, you know, I mean, an extreme kind of reaction. Now, granted, there's a
so much for stiff upper lip, huh?
I know. But, he has a point where saying to her, to this photographer, look, you could have just contacted me directly. I would have either taken it down or given you credit, whatever. But, you know, you didn't have to go do the Instagram thing. But I think he went a little bit beyond in his response post. And he's been called out on it by a number of his followers who are saying, look, you say this kind of stuff about somebody, your fans will... she becomes the enemy, and you actually create a potentially dangerous situation for her. You know, why don't you take the higher road? And I think they have a point there.
Has he backed down at all, or?
No, I haven't seen anything subsequent to that. Queen, by the way, has a deluxe anniversary issue of News of the World out today. So if you want to hear all the demos and the alternate versions of songs from that album, which I have to say was not one of the band's best, it's out today.
If you're a band who recorded an album back in the 70s or 80s and somehow you erased all the outtakes and that stuff, you are absolutely kicking yourself now, aren't you?
Because
that is gold.
Get rid of those. Don't want anyone to ever hear those.
That is gold now. People pay, who knows what they'll pay for it.
Oh, and there's as we get close to the holidays, obviously, there's a ton of this stuff out. I mean, just today, you know, from the vaults, we have Jimmy Buffett has, buried treasures, you know, rare and unreleased recordings. The Doors have Strange Days, a 50th anniversary deluxe edition out. John Fogerty's re-released his Blue Moon Swamp album. Green Day has a greatest hits album. King Crimson has something out. Moody Blues Days of Future Past 50th anniversary edition. Like I mentioned, Queen, there's a Yardbirds 1968 collection that Jimmy Page put together, and that's all out just today.
It's like Nicole Curtis is running the music industry.
Right. Rehab addict. Are we
okay.
Done settling for remastered versions of stuff now and buying that for whatever, you know, and now we want more. We want the okay, give me something with this album. I want to know what you guys were doing.
Give me something extra. How do you sell somebody something they already own? The way you do that is these monstrous box sets. I forgot to mention Metallica, Master of Puppets, you know, which you can get in a 3 or a 10 CD edition today.
For a long time, they resold it to us by changing formats.
Right? Yeah. So, we're done with formats now unless... We will come to a point where there will be like an exclusive Spotify streaming edition of, I don't know, Hotel California that'll have something that we still haven't heard.
But the funniest part about the reissue of a format is we're back to vinyl now, Gary. They're reprinting vinyl and people are buying it again.
They are buying it again. Not in the, you know, it is compared to what vinyl sales were even 3 years ago. It's a huge jump, but it's nothing like vinyl sales once were, CD sales once were. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to have it. It's nice to see it back. I myself have no real use for it, but...
What? Are you kidding me? Come on.
I'm the guy they made CDs for. Don't have to flip it over. Don't have hisses and pops. I'm in.
Yeah, the nostalgia's lost on you, huh?
I have enough vinyl to sustain me, just if I want to just look at it and have warm feelings and maybe find the occasional stem or seed that I forgot about
for once a guy who doesn't say vinyl is much better. Good for you.
All right, Gary, enjoy
absolutely
your time
not.
In Philadelphia.
All right, thank you very much, and you guys have a great holiday.
All right,
and we'll speak again.
All right, talk to you after Thanksgiving, Gary. Take care.
Okay.
Gary
Bye-bye.
Graff, our music expert.